from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Talks truth, live from the booth, always speaks 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tune in to the radio. Tina talks truth is the only way to go.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. And I am so happy that you have tuned in to listen. Wow. I'm so humbled that God is using me as a vessel to bring hope and joy and laughter and healing to the world. I say world because hello to our folks and our friends over in Moscow, Russia, as well as all over the world. The Philippines, Peru, Haiti. Hey, friends in Haiti. And the United States. And I'm hoping that maybe some of my friends from the UK and family are joining in. So thank you so much for joining Tina Talks Truth radio show every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on OneGMNationRadio.com. Oh, wow. So I asked if anyone had prayers. Whoa. I knew there's a lot of people struggling out there, and I knew that God just laid it on my heart and was like, Tina, you need to pray. So I have a whole list of people that I'm going to be praying for this morning, and I just ask you to join me in full agreement that these prayers are answered and that these people are brought comfort and strength during their times of struggle. You know, Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Isn't that the truth? You know, we can't do this alone. I don't know about you. I can't do it alone. I cannot do this journey called life alone. So I need my brothers and sisters out there to stand in the gap for me and just be diligent with audacious prayers. I've been doing a lot of praying to move mountains. And so God is answering those prayers. And sometimes he says, you know what, wait, you got to be patient, Tina, just wait on me. And other times I don't hear anything, but it doesn't mean that he's not working on that mountain. So I just want to encourage all of my listeners today that if you're going through something right now and it's quiet and you're being still, just know that our Alpha and Omega, our Papa, our Daddy, our Big Daddy, he is there all the time for us. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I have a whole list of people that I'm going to bring just forward in prayer, God, and just ask for complete healing, also mending broken hearts and relationships. Lord, I ask for favor financially for people's burdens, as well as blessings for their new faith and their new walk in faith, God. I also ask for discernment and wisdom for people like Brandon in Ohio, Kaylee, Jason. I ask for a hedge of protection around those that are going to have surgery or are struggling with medical issues right now, like Penny's uncle with Parkinson's and Jennifer, who's going to have cervical spinal fusion surgery in the next 2 weeks. Lord, we just lift Jennifer up to you, Lord, and we ask for complete healing upon her body during this surgery. We also lift Vicky up in prayer, as well as Marissa, Samtana, Brittany's sister Jamie, who needs physical healing, Lord. We ask for you just to surround Patty and Jose with her father's health, and just we ask for discernment on that and grace and abundances, Lord. We ask for relief and pain for Lynette. We ask for healing of mind, body, and soul for Denise, Sheila, Justine's son to find God, Tara, we lift you up, my sister, and I love you. And Lord, we just ask for an anointing on her body, God. Her and her husband, they are trying to get pregnant, and I couldn't think of a better couple to raise a godly child than Tara and her husband, Lord. So I just lift her up today as she goes to the fertility specialist. Also, Lord, we pray for Ginger, and she has health issues. And we also lift her son up, who's struggling with addiction. Carol for discernment, and also her new business venture, Lord. You know the path that that's going to go on and the success that she's going to have. We also ask for complete healing for my friend Janice. And we lift Angie and Mo up. We just ask for abundance of blessings with their business, Lord. Cheryl, you're such an inspiration to us. And we just thank you so much for being obedient in prayer. And Marjorie, prayers for healing for her family and her. And God, we lift up Eileen. And that you may mend her broken heart in the relationship with her son and his family, God. You have the ultimate plan for all these people, God. We also lift up Trina for any financial blessings that you may have for her, and obedient to be a good steward of money for you, Lord. God, that's a lot of people, but we know that there are many, many other people that have contacted me and they don't want their name to be acknowledged. So God, you know unspoken prayers. So we lift all of those that are listening that may have any health challenges, struggles, relationship challenges. Life is short, Lord. And we just ask you to keep us all in this moment focused on your will and your plan. And may we walk it out according to your plan and your will, God. I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy given daily. Amen. Woo. So today's guest. You know, there's a Zambian proverb, when you run alone, you run fast, but when you run together, you run far. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Real friends bring out the best in each other. And this interview today actually is an interview about a dear friend of mine, that we each were running alone and fast in different directions quite often in our lives. But when we came together, and there was actually a group of us that came together to work for her ministry, None Lost Movement, Nicole Marchman not only ran fast, but she ran far. Today's interview is with a dear friend of mine and a dear friend of Nicole Marchman's, Sean Lovely Saxton. Sean is the president, None Lost Movement, and a motivational speaker. She has her master's degree. And whew, if you want to be on fire for the Lord or hear someone that is on fire for the Lord, she speaks about overcoming domestic violence. She is the voice of hope for many, many victims and survivors out there. We're actually going to talk about Nicole Marchman, who we lost in January from pancreatic cancer. You'll hear us laughing and you'll hear us crying together. Because remember, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. I encourage you to find a friend like Sean, and even a better friend like Nicole, who is there beside me many, many times for that long run. Without further ado, here's my friend Sean.
Hey, Tina, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm good today.
Good. Hey, and you know what? That's a start. If you woke up today and it's good so far, that is a great start to the day, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's all we got to do. That, you know, God does the rest. We wake up, he does it all. Well, thank you so much for taking time to share with, I know it's a passion of yours, and it's on the hearts of all of us that we're friends with Nicole and just part of this movement, the None Lost Movement. If you could just share with us, when did this start and how did it all start?
Oh, okay, I can do that. The None Lost Movement was birthed out of Nicole's pain when she lost her mom. Her mom passed from being abused, years of abuse from domestic violence. And Nicole wanted to do something, so she formed the None Lost Movement, which had its birth in 2013.
And for our listeners, Nicole Marchman is our dear friend that, I mean, her book just tells it all. I'm just a woman, a pillar. I want to just call her like a pillar, a monument of strength.
Yes.
And perseverance and hope. The last days that she walked this earth, I mean, her spirit has just always been larger than life. And we were so blessed to have her in our lives. Can you just share a little bit about Nicole Marchman? I know we could go on for hours, but just share a little bit about Nicole.
Nicole Marchman was a phenomenal woman. And not because I have the pleasure of being her friend, her sister, her spiritual mentor. It was just because of the person that Nicole was. Nicole was the type of person, it didn't matter what was going on. What went on around her, you would never know that she was going through any difficulties, because Nicole always found a ray of sunshine in a hail of rain.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yes, yes. A ray of sunshine. Yes. Okay, I love it.
Thank you. That Nicole was the type of person that you would want to be around, because no matter how you was feeling, Nicole was going to give you that hope that it will get better. No matter how it looked, it was going to get better. No matter how bleak the situation was, it was going to get better. She just believed that it will always get better. And that was her motto. It will get better. You didn't even have to know Nicole to know that that's the way she thought. And it wasn't a public display. This is how she lived her life. It will get better.
Yes, and I loved her attitude. She had such a presence about her that when she would enter a room, especially with young people, she would meet these young people where they were at. I remember in particular when I was working in social work and she would come out and speak to the youth in foster care. And there's a young man sitting in the back of the room and he has his hoodie up over his head, would not give Nicole any eye contact and had his back turned towards her. And you know, she went right for him. And that's just how Nicole was. She was fearless, but she had such a strength about her and a sensitivity that boy didn't have to be, he wasn't frightened of her, because she came at him, she met him exactly where he was at. And she said, you know what? And this was the first time she met him. And I remember her looking at him and saying, you might not be looking at me right now. You might not even be listening. But just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. Listen to my story. And I tell you, weeks later, they had a connection that was just unbelievable. She just spoke to his heart. And I mean, to this day, she just changed that boy's heart.
He was that type of person. I remember many, I could give many stories, but I remember she called me one day. She said, sis, I need you to come and we need to talk to some gang members. And I was like, I don't really feel like doing that today. she was like, it doesn't matter. I need you to come and we need to talk to these gang members. And I was like, I don't really want to talk to no gang members today. I got other things to do. But I said, okay, I'll meet you and we'll talk to these kids. And it didn't matter where a kid was. If she saw that opportunity, if it wasn't an opportunity, she created an opportunity. And by the end of the conversation, the kids was telling her, well, how could I get in touch with you? How could I call you? Could I see you again? And I would make a joke out of it, and I would say, you were the same kid that didn't even want to talk to us. Now you want to keep in touch with us. And she would say, sis, you got to be nice. I'm like, okay. It didn't matter to her. It didn't matter where we was, where a child was. Really, Nicole is the type of person, we could have gone from maybe, we're in Florida, so I'm talking maybe from the poorest neighborhood, which is probably Sulphur Springs, mm-hmm. to the wealthiest neighborhood, maybe Palmasia, maybe Harbor Island. I don't know. It didn't make a difference. Wherever a kid was hurting, and she got wind of it, we was going. Even if it was out of town, we was going to speak to children, to encourage them, to motivate them, whether it was a child in foster care, a child that aged out of foster care, or a woman that's been through domestic violence, and I might add, a man too, because we even took on the conversations of men going through domestic violence.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that. I know you said that you told me before you have a master's degree and that you're an advocate. What is domestic violence and what exactly does it look like?
Oh, domestic violence has no picture. It has no face. Domestic violence could happen from the poorest neighborhood to the richest neighborhood. It could affect from the blackest person to the whitest person to the ethnic background of Hispanic. It has no face. It has no economic background, no educational background. Domestic violence could affect anyone at any time, anywhere.
Look like in regards to, is it physical, is it verbal, psychological, all the above?
All of the above. It could be physical. It could be physical, you could see it. It could be mental, you don't see it. It could be emotional, you don't see it. It could be subliminal, you do not see it. Not all the time. Because domestic violence, if you being abused and you have a high-profile example, if you have a high-profile position, you're not so much as going to see the physical part of it, but you could sometimes feel the mental part of it. You could feel the emotional part of it as opposed to maybe someone else where you see the physical part of it. So domestic violence, I would say sometimes is, as much as it is a out-and-out killer, it could be a silent killer as well.
There's a lot of victims that just suffer in silence. That's so true. And like you shared about Nicole's mom, and she suffered in silence for years and years, decades.
She suffered in silence because she was a Sunday school teacher as well. And, you know, as it is in Nicole's book, her father was a deacon, you know, so that just don't happen in the church, allegedly.
Yes. And her book, I'm glad that you brought that up. And her book is Unbreakable Spirit Arises. And overall, that was Nicole. I mean, she was, her face was on the book, and that she literally is, you know, an unbreakable spirit that arises. I could feel her spirit, you know, all the time. We've messaged back and forth about that numerous times, you know, that she visits us in our dreams, and we could just feel her presence a lot of times.
I just had a dream about her late last week, and she came to me in a dream because I had not dreamt about Nicole, and she hasn't visited me. But it was I'm not sure if it was a dream or if I was up. I don't know. But I know what she said to me, and I was telling I'm someone that a little while ago, she came to me and she said, sis, it's going to be all right. And it was like I felt a sense of peace because the last few months, I really felt myself going into a depression, and I knew what it was, but I couldn't get out of it. But she came to me and she told me just last week, sis, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And when she told me that, I knew that it was going to be all right because she had said that to me on different occasions where I was like, no, I'm going to make a big deal out of something. And she'll look at me and she'll say, sis, it's going to be all right. Can I give you an example of that?
Yes, please.
Oh, let me give you an example of that. I remember when I was going through a storm and she wanted me to speak. And it was Valentine's Day and she wanted me to speak on love in a church, at her church. And I was like, are you crazy? I don't really feel this. And she was like, sis, you don't have to feel it, but I want you to speak on love. I was like, I don't really feel like speaking on love because I don't feel no love. And she said, it's not about you. It's about the women that you're going to empower. It's about the women that are going to be there, and they need to hear it. And Tina, when I tell you, when I spoke, it was like so God was right there and he spoke through me. And my whole situation had turned around literally just that day because I was going through a period in my life, and I didn't know if I was going to become homeless. And when she asked me to speak, she wanted me to speak on love, and I was like, really? Speak on love? I can't, you know? And I had to put everything of me aside, and I had to go, and I had to do that engagement. And it was like one of the best speaking engagements, because the Lord just used me and used me for other people, and my whole situation turned around. But she was like, no, you gotta speak, you know, you gotta speak. We got people coming.
Yes. it you know, we had talked before about whenever she would have these events, and you know, she would just suck people in, you know, just, she had this magnetism. You would show up at an event, and the next thing you know, you're speaking, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're getting bagels, you're getting, I mean, she just had this way of just, you know, sucking people in, and just.
Yes, you was going to be a part of anything she had going on. Yeah. You didn't know it when she called you, but it was like, okay, let's go. Where let's go. This is what's going to happen. And like you say, you're going to get the bagels, you're going to get the balloons, you're going to get the kids. Because we was going to make sure the kids got picked up. They were going to get picked up. They were going to get taken back home. A woman in need, a man in need, is going to happen. You know, whether it was coming out of our pockets, because I have to say, a lot of things that we did, it came out of our pockets. It didn't even come from donations. A lot of things did not come from donations. It came out of our pockets, and we didn't make a big deal about it. She'll be like, okay, sis, we got this going on, you know. And it was many nights that her and myself would be on the phone planning what we was going to do, because when Nicole had an idea, it was like a seed. When she had a seed, that thing just germinated. And it was going to happen. And it was like, sis, you know, I need you to do this. I need you to call this person. We're going to get this. And, you know, but we're going to make sure we get it. If they give it to us, that's good. If they don't, we got to make it happen. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to make it happen. And that's the way she moved. When she thought about it, it was going to happen. Yes. It was going to happen. And she would enlist. And I was one of those people that I would be on the phone. And sometimes we'll be on the phone till 1, 2 o'clock. And I'll be like, don't we got to get up in the morning? Yeah, but we got to finish this. We got to make sure we finish this. We got to finish this, because we got to get this done, you know. And this was even to the day, the Wednesday before she passed away. It was like that. It was always, we got to get it done, you know? So,
She was my go-to, you know. I remember, I'm crying my eyes out. I remember, you know, if a youth would come up with something, you know, needed support, needed clothes, you know, needed furniture, Nicole was my go-to, the first person I would call. And I just had I just remember a young lady that she had just came into foster care. And she was a teenager. Nicole said, you give her my book. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to talk to her. This is in the midst of that, you know, when she was struggling with cancer. And this is in the midst, you know, just a couple months before she passed. And in the midst of her storm, she was still giving people hope. And that is why it's just phenomenal to me.
She was still giving people hope, Tina. And you know what? I will always tell people, in the midst of all of that, I did not know just how important I was to her. I did not know how much I meant to her. I did not know how much I influenced her. I did not know until the very end, because she used to always just look at me and say, you a mess. You know, because I would say things, and she'll tell me, you are a mess. And then she'll say, you have the biggest heart, but you just have to say crazy stuff, Sean. And And I do. I would say things off the cuff, and it'd be like, did she just say that? Yeah, I did just say that. But she will, when she has something, she'll call me, and I would say, how did we get involved in this? Now we're friends. You know, we not friends. So she'll be like, sis, we got to do it. And I knew when she got on the phone, and it was a sis thing, I knew she got off the phone with somebody, and I knew, okay, we just got involved in something. And I was even there, or I was even on the phone, or I don't even know nothing about it. But you know what? It was a we thing. It was like me, her, and Shan. It was a we thing. And when she got her mind to something, I would tell Shan, we might as well even do it, because if we don't do it, it's happening. And if it happens, she's going to tell us, y'all should have been there. Y'all should have been there. Yeah. And it wasn't only really anything she did was not for her. It was not for her to get attention. She did things unbeknownst to her that she was going to get the accolades. She never did anything for accolades. She never did anything for accolades. Never. Anything she ever did was for somebody else. Anything that she ever went after, it was for somebody else. And I remember her saying to me, and I don't want to cry because I got to put this out there because this just came to me. I remember her always saying to me with the foster care in her childhood, she would say to me, sis, why me? And I would say to her, why not you? And we would laugh. Then when I remember her saying to me with the cancer, sis, why me? And I said to her, I will not answer that. I said, I cannot answer that. I will not answer that.
Yeah.
You know, and she looked at me and she just said, I love you. I said, I love you. I said, I love you more than you would ever know. I love you just as much as I love my own biological sisters. You have influenced me. You have taught me more about me than I knew. Because she would always tell me, you have a heart of gold. It's when you could get through to that heart. You would do anything for people. It's when you could get through to that heart. But she was able to bring that out. And you mentioned about the healing process. I wasn't healed from my own stuff until I met up with Nicole. And when you are healed, you're able to talk about your trauma without breaking down a lot anymore. And I didn't know that, because I would never talk about the abuse that I went through. I just didn't. It was like, okay, it happened, get over it. That was my philosophy behind everything. My philosophy was, it would never happen again. I'm okay. But I never dealt with stuff until her and me were sat down and we would talk about things. And there were things that I never even told my mother, to my mother passing, that I never told her. But me and Nicole talked about everything. There are things that we talked about that's not in the book, you know, that we talked about, we shared, and we brought up. But she was a person that I was able to just get real raw and real honest about my own stuff.
Yeah.
That I just wouldn't do. I didn't trust people. I didn't trust people to give them my story. I didn't trust them to tell them. And so I met her. And her last words to me, because she wrote me a 7-page letter, was, you will write that book.
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to be your number one cheerleader. You have to write that book. Yes. You have to. And I love just how eloquently you put that healing is talking about your past trauma without it hurting. And I truly believe that it's a healing process. It is a process. But today we can laugh. And today we can feel true joy. Where if we're not healing or we're not healed, you can't feel joy. I mean, sadness and anger is such a barrier to joy and laughter. It's just a healing process overall. We talked about Nun Loss Movement bringing hope to young people, all ages, females and males. Do you have any events coming up anytime soon?
We really don't have any events yet. We're working on some things, and we're going to be in collaboration with some other partners, but none really. We will do the Real Talks for the Teenagers in the Park, and we will be posting that on the Nun Loss Movement website.
Okay, and what is that? Nunlossmovement.com?
Yes, it's nunlossmovement.com.
And that's where the Real Talks are going to be.
That's where they'll be posted. Anything that we do with Nun Loss Movement, we will be posting it there. We're working on the website to reflect the change, the loss, the grief. Yeah. We blog there, too. We have a blog. We've been set the blog up. There's some blogging for Nicole from the past. We're doing a website over, and we're going to have a founders page. But we thought it was appropriate to change everything and do the founders page and, you know, go from there. The page is like current, like she's still here, and we can't have that. We don't have the book. And we're looking to probably have access to the book, but that's a process too. But anybody could, I guess they could go on Amazon and buy the book. But when we do classes, we will continue to teach out the book because I've done enough okay. classes with Nicole to know how to teach out the book.
Yeah.
You know, so... So we will be doing that. And actually, when we get off the air, I'll talk to you about something else. It just dropped in my spirit to talk to you about something else.
Now, any donations, if our listeners want to donate to the Nun Loss Movement, can they do that on the website?
You could do that on the website. It's a PayPal on the website for Nun Loss Movement. We're still working on the... We're still working on stuff. It's not a 501, but it's a nonprofit. But we could take donations under the underground. So that's not a problem if somebody want a letter back, you know, saying they made a donation to Nun Loss Movement because we're under an umbrella for now. So they could do donations and they could post to that on PayPal as well. So, yes, we will take donations for, you know, school will be coming up, school supplies, gently used clothing for children, different things, rain gear, perishable items for, you know, different things because we will be working with the village and with another agency out in Pinellas Park, and that's a aged-out foster care agency, but they still have... the moms that have aged out, but they have children as well. And we do groups with them every other month.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, that's always a great resource. And I know you bless a lot of people. You do a lot of wonderful events and really supply a lot of the just basic needs that these youth and adults that are in domestic violence situations, but the youth that are aging out, they need just the basics. And so often we forget about that. So you guys do a lot of great things in the community, and I thank you for that. How can we pray for Nun Loss Movement?
Pray that God will open up some doors so we could go into uncharted territories, that we could just begin to go into the foster care, get into the foster care system and be able to talk and be able to do some collaborations with them so they see us as an added piece instead of opposition, because there's not enough agencies out there to help the children that are in need. It's just not enough. We have children, like you said, that aged out that might need a bus pass to get to a job interview. Children that are aged out that might need some clothing, you know, that might need some job coaching, preparation. And it's just not enough. So just pray that God would just pour in to us so we're able to pour in and be an asset to some of these children. and adults that, you know, that are in the domestic violence that aged out of foster care, because it's like a revolving door. You come out of foster care, and I might add, everybody will not be as fortunate as Nicole. There's not a lot of Nicoles walking around that came out of the foster care system that's gone through 14 different foster homes and accomplished what she accomplished in her short lifespan. It's not a lot, but her resilience kept her going. Her unbreakable spirit kept her going,
yes.
You know? So, I mean, it's just not a lot. And we need to be able to reach more and probably be able to tell her story and tell about Nicole and tell about her resilience when they feel like giving up. Because there were days that she felt like giving up, but she couldn't because, like she always said, it's going to be another Nicole behind me. It's another Nicole behind me.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So,
got to keep moving forward and helping, just building the kingdom and helping each other and loving each other. And Sean, I love you. And I thank you so much for taking time to be on my radio show.
I love you. And I thank you, Tina. And I thank you for, I thank you, you know, and Nicole always loved you, you know, and she used to tell me, Sean, she's nice. You need to stop being mean, talk to people, and people like it. I'm like, I'm not mean. She said, I know you're not mean. If people knew you the way I know you, you know, but I'm glad, you know, that we had time together with her. I'm glad for her friends, you know, because honestly, she had a lot of people that loved her, not only while she was in life. She has a lot of people that really, really love her and really believe in her. And with this Nun Lost movement, I might ask, she started this. I'm just carrying the torch. And I'm endeavor to take this torch as far as we can take this torch and keep this candle lit as long as we can keep this candle lit.
Yep. And just let the light shine. And that is exactly what she did.
Yeah. And thank you so much. And we love you. And we just thank you. And we thank you for all the work that you are doing in the community and abroad.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Sean, for sharing your hope and joy and laughter and healing with us. And thank you for your dedication to Nicole's ministry, Nun Lost Movement. You can go to nunlostmovement.com, the website, read the blogs, look for those Real Talk events, and please support Nicole's legacy and this ministry. Romans 12:5, we are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. It takes a village, doesn't it? It takes all of us supporting one another. It takes all of us to be that ray of sunshine. And we're here to support one another. And that could be just being there for someone, listening, or through prayer. I thank you for tuning in to Tina Talks Truth radio show. I thank you for Idioms for the introduction song. And I also thank Victor, who you're going to hear from right now. Hope you listen in next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on OneJamNationRadio.com.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth. And the truth is, don't stop believing.
Hold on to the faith. Victor!
Okay. The truth is, there is hope.
God saved you from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Talks Truth, live from the booth, always be 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist that feeds your soul like nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tune in to the radio, cause Tina talks truth.